All right, so buckle up, folks, because today we're diving headfirst into a legal case that, at first glance, might sound as dry as a month-old baguette.
Oh, trust me. This one's anything but dry. We're talking Gulf Rice Milling Incorporated versus Sonnier, and let me tell you, it's a real humdinger.
It is. It really is. We're talking agricultural contracts gone wrong, a legal move that backfired spectacularly, and even, get this, emotional distress damages in a straight-up commercial dispute.
Yeah, you don't see that every day, do you?
Not every day, no. Definitely not. Especially not when you're talking about rice farmers and contracts, you know?
Exactly. This case is a gold mine of lessons, particularly if you're interested in Louisiana law, contract law, and the potential pitfalls of, shall we say, aggressive litigation tactics.
Okay, so let's back up a bit. Paint the picture for our listeners. What exactly went down between Gulf Rice and Mr. Sonnier that led to this whole legal showdown?
Well, picture this. It's November 2003, harvest time in Louisiana. Gulf Rice, through a broker named Mark Tall, strikes a deal with Richard Sonnier, a rice farmer, to buy his rice. They agree on a price, $14 a barrel, and a pickup deadline of March 15, 2004. So far, so good, right?
Sounds pretty straightforward. A simple purchase agreement.
You'd think so. But here's the rub. A written confirmation was drawn up, outlining all the terms. But get this. Neither Gulf Rice nor Mr. Sonnier ever actually signed the darn thing.
Okay, no signatures on the contract. That's not ideal. I mean, I know these things happen, but, you know, for all those law students listening, always get it in writing.
Yeah.
But what happened next? Did the rice get picked up as planned?
Well, not quite. Life, as they say, had other plans. Gulf Rice ran into some snags with the receiving pit, you know, the place where they take in the rice. And wouldn't you know it, they missed that March 15th deadline. Now, put yourself in Mr. Sonnier's shoes. He's got a whole lot of rice, it's a perishable commodity, and he needs to sell it, like yesterday.
So what did he do? Sit on the rice and hope Gulf Rice would eventually show up?
Nope, not Mr. Sonnier. He's a smart farmer. He found another mill willing to buy his rice, and he sold it on March 22nd, just a week after Gulf Rice missed their deadline. It was a smart business decision, right?
Makes perfect sense to me. He's got to move that rice. But I'm guessing this is where Gulf Rice, let's just say, didn't take this news too well.
You could say that. Mm-hmm. On April 7th, a little over 2 weeks later, Gulf Rice decided to, well, they filed a lawsuit. They claimed they still owned the rice, even though it hadn't sold to someone else, and they wanted the court to force Mr. Sonny to honor their original agreement.
Hold on. They sued him, even though they never signed the contract. That seems... Bold.
Bold is one word for it, but it gets bolder. Not only did they sue, but they also went for the legal jugular. They sought and actually obtained something called a writ of sequestration.
A writ of what now?
Sequestration. Basically, it's a legal maneuver that allows a court to seize property or assets that are involved in a lawsuit. In this case, it meant Gulf Rice was able to effectively freeze any remaining rice Mr. Sonnier had, along with over $100,000 from the sale he made to the other mill.
Whoa. $100,000. That escalated quickly. So what was Gulf Rice's legal argument here? How could they possibly claim ownership of the rice after all this?
Good question. In their lawsuit, they went for two main claims, specific performance or breach of contract. Specific performance meant they were asking the court to force Mr. Sonnier to deliver the rice to them as originally agreed, despite the fact that he'd already sold it.
Right. And breach of contract, well, that means he broke the agreement, which they say gives them the right to some sort of compensation. But this whole writ of sequestration thing, that's a pretty aggressive move, right? Especially if they didn't even have a signed contract. I'm guessing Mr. Sonnier didn't just sit back and take this.
Oh, absolutely not. Mr. Sonnier was not going down without a fight. He fired back with a counterclaim, alleging, quite reasonably, that the sequestration was wrongful. After all, if there was no valid contract, they had no right to seize his rice or his money. He also sought to recover the attorney fees he racked up, defending himself against this whole legal onslaught.
Okay, so we've got a full-blown legal battle brewing here. What happened next? Did the court side with Gulf Rice and uphold their claims?
Not even close. The trial court actually moved pretty quickly to dissolve the writ of sequestration, recognizing, it seems, that there were some serious questions about the validity of Gulf Rice's actions. They even ordered Gulf Rice to pay Mr. Sonnier's legal fees related to getting that seizure lifted.
So round one goes to Mr. Sonnier. But the fight wasn't over yet, right?
Oh, no. Not by a long shot. The main issues of breach of contract and wrongful sequestration, those went to a full-blown jury trial. And here's where things get really interesting for Gulf Rice, and not in a good way.
Oh boy, lay it on me. What did the jury decide?
The jury, after hearing all the evidence and arguments, came back with a verdict that was, shall we say, not in Gulfrice's favor. Not only did they completely reject all of Gulfrice's claims, but they also sided with Mr. Saunier, finding that the seizure of his assets was, in fact, wrongful.
Ouch. So what happened then? Did they just slap Gulfrice on the wrist and send everyone home?
Not quite. Remember those damages Mr. Saunier was seeking? Well, the jury didn't hold back. They awarded him a cool $100,000.
$100,000? Wow. They weren't messing around. And Gulfrice, well, I imagine they weren't too thrilled about this outcome.
You'd be right about that. They decided to appeal the decision, hoping a higher court would see things their way and overturn the jury's verdict. But no dice. The appellate court, after reviewing everything, decided to uphold the jury's decision in full.
So, double ouch for Gulfrice. Okay, so we've got the story, but let's dig into the legal nitty-gritty here. What specific laws or legal principles led to this outcome? What were the key factors that tripped Gulfrice up?
Well, this case really hinges on a specific article in the Louisiana Civil Code, Article 2458 to be exact. It's all about the sale of goods, specifically goods that are sold by weight, tale, or measure, which perfectly describes agricultural products like rice.
So not a lump sum sale, but one where the price is determined by the quantity of the goods. Okay, I'm with you. And this article, it lays out some ground rules for these kinds of sales, right?
Precisely. It sets up a three-part test, if you will, that has to be met for a sale like this to be considered legally complete and for ownership to transfer from the seller to the buyer.
A three-part test, all right. I'm all ears. What are these three crucial elements?
First off, the goods has got to be sold by weight, tale, or measure. We've established that, right?
Right.
Rice is sold by weight, not just as a big old pile.
Check. What's the second condition?
Second, there has to be an actual weighing, counting, or measuring of the goods.
Yeah.
That's what determines the final price.
Makes sense. You got to know exactly how much you're buying and selling to calculate the final amount. What's the third condition?
And here's the kicker, especially for our law student listeners. When it comes to agricultural products in Louisiana, there's got to be a signed written contract. Both parties had to put their John Hancock on that document for the sale to be final and for the ownership to officially transfer.
There it is, the signed contract. And as we know, that didn't happen in this case. So Gulfrice flunked the test, so to speak.
They did indeed. Not only was there no signed contract, but the rice was never actually weighed and measured by Gulfrice. The final price was supposed to be determined after the rice was milled and tested, which never happened because, well, Gulfrice missed their pickup and Mr. Saunier sold the rice to someone else.
So let me get this straight. No signed contract, no weighing, no final price determined. They really didn't have a leg to stand on, legally speaking, did they?
Not really. And that's why that writ of sequestration came back to bite them. If they didn't actually own the rice because the sale wasn't legally complete, then seizing Mr. Sonny's assets was a big no-no.
And that, my friends, is what we call wrongful sequestration. And as we've seen, it can get pretty darn expensive. $100,000 in damages, that's not chump change. Let's break down those damages. What exactly did that money cover?
Right, so that 100 grand, that was for general damages. Think of it as compensation for the emotional distress, the humiliation, the financial instability Mr. Saunier went through because of all this. He also got a smaller amount, $1,500, to cover the specific legal fees he had to pay to get that wrongful seizure lifted.
Emotional distress in a business dispute? That's not something you hear every day. What did Mr. Saunier present to convince the jury that he deserved that kind of compensation?
Well, he painted a pretty clear picture of the real-world impact Gulfrice's actions had on his life and his business. He talked about how having his money tied up because of the seizure meant he couldn't make payments on his planting loans. That's a huge deal for a farmer, right?
Absolutely. It's planting season. You need that money to get your crops in the ground.
Exactly. And that kind of financial trouble can really damage your reputation, especially in a tight-knit community like the agricultural world. It can make it harder to get loans, to do business, to keep your operation running. Mr. Saunier's livelihood was on the line here, and the jury recognized that.
So this wasn't just some abstract legal battle over a contract. It had real, tangible consequences for Mr. Saunier, and the courts took that into account. All right. So for our listeners who are just starting their legal journeys, what are the big takeaways from this case? What lessons should they tuck away for future reference?
Oh, there are a few biggies here. First and foremost, always, always, always dot your I's and cross your T's when it comes to contracts. An unsigned contract, especially in a specialized area like agricultural sales, can be your downfall. Louisiana law is very clear about this. Those requirements are there for a reason, and ignoring them can cost you big time.
Lesson one, get it in writing and get those signatures. What else should our listeners keep in mind?
Second, think long and hard before you go for the legal Hail Mary, like a writ of sequestration. It's a powerful tool, but it can backfire spectacularly if you don't have a rock-solid legal basis for using it. The courts don't mess around when it comes to this kind of thing.
So don't get trigger-happy with the legal nukes. Got it. Anything else our future lawyers should take away from this case?
One more thing. Emotional distress damages, they're not just for personal injury cases anymore. In commercial disputes, especially when someone's livelihood and reputation are at stake, those damages can become a real factor. It's a reminder that business decisions have real-world consequences for people, and the law takes those consequences seriously.
So to recap, make sure those contracts are signed, be careful with those powerful legal moves, and remember that emotional distress can be a real factor in commercial cases. Gulf Rice v. Saunier, a case that proves sometimes the biggest legal battles are over the smallest details.
You said it. A missing signature, a missed deadline, and bam, you're looking at a $100,000 lesson in the importance of getting it right the first time. It really makes you think about all the little things that can make or break a case in any area of law.
It does. And on that note, we leave you with this thought. What other seemingly minor legal or procedural details could have a similarly massive impact? It's a good reminder to pay attention to the fine print and to think about the ripple effects of every legal decision.
Absolutely.
We encourage you to delve deeper into Article 2458 of the Louisiana Civil Code and explore the case law surrounding wrongful seizure and damages. It's a fascinating area of law with real-world implications. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive, folks. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and stay legal.
Stay legal.